you when you submit the documents to the committee, unless they are not taking us serious. You don't even proofread your documents. So it's almost a year since you have been in office. What are the highlights that you say in terms of your turnaround strategy? These are the stuff that we've done. Because still, when you were in office, you didn't submit financial statements on time. In essence, what I read, you don't just want to comply. And then maybe we need to ask the department, why do you continue to pump in money to the entity that doesn't even want to comply and account for the money used? And then this rampant now spending on the COVID funds. I can smell a rat on this one. The way the items are itemized, colleagues, you can also see that something is not adding up here. And the issue of the absence of the mayor. Can the councillor exist, the MMC, tell us as honourable was an expert as to when did the mayor started being sick? Will the committee be finished with the medical certificate that is set? So those are some of the concerns that we are having, but we'll follow up depending on the type of questions and answers that you're going to provide. So I'll hand over to you. Maybe let me allow the Deputy Minister, I'll start it the other way today. Let me allow you to first comment, then they will respond to the issues. Deputy Minister Tao.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and all the colleagues on the platform, Tiendapena. Let me start by commenting from your initial comments, Chair, which related to when we will introduce the intervention support and monitoring bill. I should say that in the past 2 weeks we have had bilateral discussions with our colleagues at the Department of Public Service and Administration to try and resolve areas of overlap in the bill, because DPSA intends to introduce a bill that is similar to the Support Monitoring and Interventions Bill, but focusing on Section 100, which is interventions in provincial government. So we thought between ourselves and DPSA that we need to resolve these matters about how we deal with the two bills. We are expecting a follow-up meeting in the next week or so together with Deputy Minister Chikunga, so that we can then, officials with agreed, will go and resolve whatever overlaps. Beyond that, Honorable Chair, we'll be able to come back and indicate the process of introducing the bill. Chairperson, with regards to the intervention itself, the Section 1391B intervention itself, as indicated in the DCOP presentation, part of what we had to do when we were concerned about the results that we were observing with regards to the original intervention was to engage with the provincial government, and I should say probably euphemistic, but introduce what Ms. Helderblom related to as the joint intervention. In reality, it was national government supporting and supplementing the provincial Section 1391B, including working with the provincial government around assigning administrators or reinforcing the administration team that was assigned to Malutia Pofon. So I think I should state that we did observe progress, and in fact we did receive the closeout reports of the former administrators that had been assigned, including the former MM. And I think it might be important to clarify this point here, that the administrator that was assigned subsequently was appointed as a deputy director general in government in a different department. We did ask for an initial extension, which was granted, but the task, of course, had to be concluded because he had to resume his responsibilities in government. What happened in the process is that because he had left and prepared a closeout report that we've received that indicates the progress that had been made, a new administrator was appointed. Now, this is at the same time, the sequencing, maybe saying same time might not clarify the sequencing. Before the administrator left, the municipal initiated a process to recruit senior management, in particular the municipal manager and the CFO, who were duly appointed earlier this year and assumed their responsibility. The erstwhile acting municipal manager, as part of the administration team, then ceased to be a municipal manager, but an administrator remained in place with a team of people who work with the administrator to then conclude the work. And I'm confirming once again that we also received a report from the acting municipal manager who constituted part of the administration team. Subsequent to that, as indicated in the presentation, in June, this year, the date can be clarified, but the intervention has since been reformed. Now, we have requested the department in the province to furnish us with the closeout report on the section 1391B. I can confirm that it's located in the province's presentation. We have not as yet received that closeout report, and we are not therefore in a position to say to the committee, we have reviewed this report and this is our recommended. Now I'm emphasizing this because section 1391B is a prerogative implemented by the provincial government. If we are to even consider invoking section 1397, as indicated by the committee, or at least members of the committee have raised that we might need to consider that, we think that we can only apply our minds after we have received the report, which report will then give us a clear indication, including our own review of the municipality, as to the state of the intervention and what the way forward should be. That said, does not mean that we do not remain concerned about the state of the municipality. In fact, the presentations today by the municipality itself in particular, but also the other presentations, indicated that in fact we need to remain concerned about the state of governance, performance of the municipality in Mabutiapofu. And it would therefore be reviewing the report that we received, the closeout report, against such a background to be able to make a determination as we interact with the provincial government of the Free State in this regard. Which then brings me to the questions that were raised directly, some of which I've probably already covered. But there is a question as to, is there a list of issues that we were focused on in Mabutiapofu in particular? And what is progress in that regard and what should we look out for going forward? Of course, I reference honorable members to the persons sent, but we are objectively awaiting a closeout report on Mabutiapofu. And there were a number of issues that we focused on when we went in to support the provincial government in the intervention in Malutia Pofum. The first was to try and stabilize the governance environment, the broad leadership environment in the municipality, starting with governance. As you know, at that time, which is slightly more than a year back, the municipality did not have a stable executive leadership in the form of a mayoral committee that was functional and a council that was functional. So we had to ensure that because there were vacancies of ward councillors, that the elections take place and that council becomes properly constituted to elect a leadership of the municipality. And that was done. The second point with regard to leadership was to then also capacitate the administrative leadership organization, and I can confirm, as has been confirmed in the report, that that was done. We also instituted, in partnership with other departments, interventions on specific areas of service delivery, because service delivery remained an issue. And the issue that was top of mind and still remains top of mind related to the water situation in Malutia Pofum, and led by the Department of Water and Sanitation, significant progress was achieved with regards to addressing the water challenges in Malutia Pofum. It has not all resolved everything that was the water challenges that the municipality confronts, but significant strides were made to resolve the water issues. Some of it through tankering, but some of it through also capital investment in the infrastructure required to supply potable water in the municipality. The other area that is an area of focus related to basic service delivery challenges, basic repairs and issues. During the administration, or should I say, for lack of a better word, at the height of the administration, the administrators went and also procured and fixed, where these were possible, vehicles to enable improved repairs and maintenance of municipal services in the municipality. So from that point of view, we also witnessed some progress. There is a joint project that we are working on with our colleagues at Treasury, DBSA, the provincial government, where we would want to pilot a funding mechanism for infrastructure for municipalities leveraging off big grants that we have introduced in the municipality of Malutia Pofum, with a particular focus on the sewer network, the treatment plant. And a project plan has been developed. We have been informed that the council would be sitting soon to consider and adopt the plan, because as you probably know, which was raised, I think, by Honorable Kronerman, as you probably know, we have had significant challenges with the management of the wastewater treatment works in Malutia Pofum. My recollection is that, in fact, there are four optimal. So this project is intended to focus on that. The next set of issues that we are focused on relates to improving revenue in the municipality. And there are current discussions that we are also pursuing around revenue improvement and looking at Malutia Pofum as a site, as a pilot site, to resolve what are significant revenue challenges in the municipality. Because if you don't get the revenue, your ability to deliver the services is significantly hampered. So there is a process that's looking at that through a smart meter initiative that we are in discussions with Sanebi at an energy, an agency of minerals and energy and national treasure. We are looking at now Manutiapofum to introduce metering that would improve their ability to connect, including prepaid systems where these are most optimal. But I should say, Chair, that some of these interventions are themselves delayed by the fact that we have not yet received the closeout report, so that we all are regards to what is the way forward in stabilizing governance in Manutiapofum. So we have to handle these processes parallel to each other, but we do expect that we ourselves would be furnished with the appropriate report. Then coming to the matter of ESCOM, I should confirm that, as the department indicated, there have been bilateral discussions with ESCOM in relation to, or rather specific discussions with ESCOM, that both provincial and national cooperative governance departments are supporting to deal with the impasse that is there between ESCOM and the municipality. At the national level, there is a process that has resumed under the leadership of the Deputy President and the Interministerial Task Team on ESCOM that is looking overall at municipal debt to ESCOM and a resolution of that problem. Certain recommendations have been made and are currently being finalized as to how to resolve the overall situation of municipal debt, including debt owed by the department as raised by the chair to municipalities. And that process is currently underway. We are part of a work stream that's focusing in particular on those issues, but also the long-term resolution of the electricity distribution impasse, if I may, that has been there over time. So we're working with SALCA and our sister departments to try and deal with all those issues that have to do with ESCOM and ministries under the leadership of the task team as headed by the Deputy President. And we should at some point be able to come back to the committee and give details on the implementation of those, including a mechanism to resolve some of the disputes that are contributing to the issue. So there is a clear recommendation to appoint an ombudsman type person that would resolve all areas where there are disputes and are able to pay further. But there are also other interventions that include overall looking at electricity, the role of local government and so on, that constitutes part of that work stream that we are part of in the ESCOM task team. Honorable Chairperson, I commented on a number of issues, but I'm sure my colleagues in the department can also add where I left issues for them, and indeed the other colleagues would also contribute to the discussion. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Deputy Minister, over to the team from Manutiapofum, and I'll let the other colleagues to comment if there are issues that relate to their area of work.
Chairperson?
HOD?
Yes, may I request your indulgence to respond just to augment on what? Yes, Deputy Minister has actually reflected on. I think he has covered largely a number of things that one had intended to reflect on. I just want to reflect on what is it that the department has actually done in support of the municipality, because it's one of the questions that was raised. We have given the municipality an amount of 13 million to deal with issues around the audit turnaround strategy, and subsequently last year, we also advanced 13 million with the tranches of 8 million and 5 million to deal with the water-related problems. And then out of this amount, the number of boreholes that were erected functionally is 25. On the issue of ESCOM, as Honorable Deputy Minister Parks has indicated, and I would urge that we be given an opportunity to provide a separate report on ESCOM, because there's quite a lot of things that have created this debt of 5.3 billion. For instance, Honorable Minister, before the interministerial task team intervened on issues relating to Eskom, Eskom used to charge municipalities interest after the 15th day, and that interest was plus 5%. Now, our issues at the time, which the interministerial task team managed to intervene, were that Eskom, as a government entity, it needs to comply with the Public Finance Management Act. Because the Public Finance Management Act dictates that once an invoice has been received and then proper exercise has been conducted, it therefore must then be paid within 30 days. Therefore, if Eskom is charging interest on the interest on the 15th day, that is completely inconsistent with the provisions of the PFMA. Two, you would recall, Chair, that around 2014-15, a decision was taken by the then presidency to try and give those people who were said to not to be having dignity by electrifying a number of areas. And Malutapofu, as a rural municipality, and it comprises about more than 36 rural villages. Previously, the electricity supply was only in Tutadichaba, which is sort of a suburb. And the supply agreement that was there between the municipality focused only on the supply of Tutadichaba. And when this electrification program was rolled out, there was never a process to assist the municipality to increase or to review their supply agreement with Eskom. And all these new areas that were electrified, 36 villages, it created a burden on the Eskom infrastructure, and Eskom had to apply penalties at the rate of prime plus 5%. But after the intervention of the interministerial testing, it was agreed that interest will no longer be charged at 15%. It will be charged after 30 days, and then it will be prime plus 2.5%. And that is historical debt which has caused the municipality to be where it is. And that's why I've said, maybe if we are given an opportunity to present the Eskom bill on the municipality and many other municipalities in the province, we will reflect how much is the consumption and how much constitute NMD and how much constitute an interest, so that the public can be aware, even the portfolio committee, honorable portfolio committee members, can know that some municipalities are not just simply negligent in terms of servicing this Eskom debt. In terms of the other support, we have, like I said in my presentation, we have assisted the municipality to deal with the infrastructure master plans, especially electricity, water and sanitation, including the roads. And like Honorable Deputy Minister Pakistan has indicated, the PSPO model, that's why the Executive Council has also confirmed, we found it to be a model that will assist and elevate the number of problems that exist in Malutapofu. And then I can confirm that the Council is sitting tomorrow. We have received the correspondence, and there will be further engagement with DCOG on the 2nd, a proposal with DCOG on the 2nd of September, where the rollout plan, once Council has resolved tomorrow, it will be discussed so that that plan can be rolled out to try and deal with the deficiencies that exist. Because the entire PSP model, as the Honorable Deputy Minister has indicated, focuses more on installation of electricity, smart meters, water meters, ensuring that the electricity issues relating to electricity theft are minimized, and including the improvement of the infrastructure, especially the wastewater and the water infrastructure. We have currently 8 wastewater treatment plants in Malutapofu, and none of them, as I just wanted to correct that, it's 8, not 4. They are not actually functional. They are the reason why the Velger River and subsequently the Val River are being polluted. And then the PS pool model is one of those models that will attend to the problem. The other problem in the municipality, Chair, in July 2017, the municipality took a decision to write off about 758 million without doing a quality assurance exercise, meaning that among the consumers, you had business people, you had even those able people to pay, those accounts were actually written off. And when we took over through the intervention, we reinstated the accounts and ensured that the bills go to the communities. And that is what is currently actually happening. The other matter which created problem and impasse in terms of the submission of the financial statement, ICT contract, which is also a subject of investigation by the Hawks, where a service provider was appointed for 5.3 million, but the actual amount that were paid is 9 million. So there was an overpayment of about 4 million. So those are the matters that are receiving attention by the Hawks. The other problem is that the sheriff, through the accounts that was attached, had confiscated quite a number of items from the municipality, your files, your computers. And that's when ourselves, together with DCOC last year, we dealt with the matter, and then we reflected to the sheriff that if these items are attached, the chain of custody has been broken, because there are certain elements that must be investigated. Now, how are we going to justify, because before the court of law, that no one actually had with the evidence? So that is the reason why some of those items were actually written, and I'm sure the municipality is in the correct space now to actually provide whatever information that is required to the AG, but they will reflect more on some of the challenges that made them not to submit the required documentation well on time. The issue of the 140 million of the water and sanitation, the money was not actually deposited to the municipality. This is the pledge that was made by of water and sanitation, human settlement, Honorable Lindiwe Sisulu, when she visited the area after the shutdown. And from what we know is that 98 million was reprioritized, and then the implementing agent for this amount of money is Sidibeng Water. The money was not sent to the coffers of the municipality. I think largely that's the responses I wanted to give. There's consequence management, obviously. You would recall that, Chairperson, we did report in our previous engagement that the then municipal manager is one of those charged officials. The then acting municipal manager and some of the officials who were in the then head of supply chain, including the then manager security services, they are now facing those alleged corruption, and the matter is before the court of law. So we will wait the outcome of the court of law and know what is actually happening. There are also matters relating to the disciplinary hearing that the current team is actually dealing with. And I agree with what Honorable Paxton has indicated, that the closed report will be provided, which will indicate exactly whether the decision to withdraw Section 139 intervention was a positive one or it was just a political decision. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, HOD and Deputy Minister. I'm glad that in that we're still going to deal with this report on interventions. But the issue that one wanted to take home forward, we appreciate the work in progress. But if you check, when both yourselves intervened, the province and the concurrence of National in 2018, February, ESCOM debt was 3.2 billion. And it now increased to 5.2 billion. Whereas when you intervene, you are informed by the reasons. What there is those reasons, if you are to look at them, what caused you to intervene. That's why you have not even achieved the single intended results. So the concern, our concern is that to say, with regard to this intervention, it draws us back to that issue to say, why does it look like those interventions now just then assist to the municipality to be just worse than the way before? I'm giving you a classical ESCOM intervention, ESCOM B. 3.2 billion, now it's 5.3 billion. I agree there's been a commitment that this is going to be broken down so that we understand all those things, but also the work that is going on that is in progress. But I should think we just wanted to zoom that with you so that you see our content that we take. We are still going to deal with the presentation, then we're going to deal with it then. So That's the matter that I wanted us to deal. So can I hand over to the municipality and then to respond? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. On the issue of the absence of the Israeli mayor, I think the medical certificate will be sent to the committee. And there was an issue with regards to the allegations of sabotage by truck drivers at the heat. So that one still remains an allegation, as we've heard about that, but we'll treat it as allegation because we don't have a proof to see it. And then the issue of officials' business with the municipality, yes, there are some, and then we have headed that to MPEC for investigation because the report was brought to us. So up until MPEC comes to council and present it, then we'll be able to know as to what is happening. And there was an issue of it being around of a lot of people. Seems like it was a festival. So we got a report from the SAPS to say that there are people who were arrested because of that. And then there are cases that are still in court in the municipality with regards to corruption. And last week we had court subpoenas submitted to some of the employees who were supposed to go and appear in court as witnesses in September, October. And with regards to Chairperson, with regards to the IDP consultations, we didn't have a contact consultation because of COVID-19, but we made efforts to advertise through media, and we had the visualized meetings with the stakeholders. So we didn't just sit back. So we there's something that we did with regard to the consultation. And then with regards to the sewerage problem that we've got in the municipality, yes, we agree. There is a serious problem with that. Hence, as the municipality, on the 27th, we'll be sitting for council. That is after tomorrow. And we'll be presenting in the council the PSP that with which we are intending to address the problem, that is private sector participation program. The turnaround strategy, Honorable Chairperson, is also going to council on the 27th, that is on Thursday. With regards to 220 million rand of water problems and so forth, that one I think the HOD has answered to that since when it is dealt with by CDB. Nothing came to the account of the municipality, even the appointment of contractors that is done strictly by CDB Water. Yes, we've got vacant positions in the municipality of three key positions of directorship. And we made mention in our presentation that those positions are vacant and intend taking that to council on the 27th so that we can start the process of advertisement. With regards to water challenges, Honorable Chairperson, we got it in our presentation under portable water services slide. So we have listed all the interventions that we have taken as a municipality with the cost attached to that. I have the concern of the Honorable Chair with regards to the appointment of the service providers with regards to outsourcing of consultants and so forth. And with regards to the asset register, the consultation is strictly for the unbundling of the register, which I think that I will later maybe hand over to the CFO to explain in detail as to what we mean by unbundling. So we are also very much against the outsourcing of duties of the municipality. The financial statements are done internally since the appointment of both the municipal manager and the CFO. So the report that we put forward with regards to the expenses, the cost that we incurred historically, it happened during 2017-2018. So right now, since we have been in place, that was September last year, when the executive mayor and the executive committee was put in place. So we haven't. And the issue of the submission, the submission of the financial statements, so it is because of the backlog that we were having. But the financial statements for 2018, it will be submitted on the 10th of December. And, 18-19. And then the financial statement for 2019-2020, it will be on February, it will be submission will be made. With regards to audit action plan, we are still awaiting the final audit report for 2017-2018, so that we can then come up with an audit action plan. So because we cannot really do an action plan without that report. The turnaround strategy is also going to cancel on the 27th of August. Honorable Chairperson, the issue of ESCOM is also a concern to us. It's also a concern to us to an extent that we have signed an SLA with ESCOM, whereby we submitted about 100 bulk electricity users to ESCOM so that they can pay directly to them. That's an effort in trying to pay up the current account. Right now, when you check, we've got about 140 registered electricity users on our system. But out of the 140, we've got about an average of around 29,000 to 31,000. That is actually buying electricity, of which is a serious concern to us, because we are using more electricity, but the revenue is far less than what is expected. For example, right now, as we are sitting in this meeting, we just received a call that our auditors, because we've got auditors who are going around checking for the tempering of electricity. So in Turkey, we got the report that our auditors are being chased away. So we had to call the police so that they can go and address this. And funny enough, people who are chasing those auditors away are business people who are making profit, but they don't want to pay electricity. And then the issue of the upper limits of both the municipal manager and the CFO. We appointed them according to the advert that was issued out by the then National Administrator, Mr. Blake Mosley. Their salary package, it was categorized into three, of which there was that minimum category, midpoint category, and the maximum. And the maximum is actually saying that it must be, the person must be having 10 years, more than 10 years experience, and at least a degree. And as a municipality, we are at category 6. Then when you check the qualifications of municipal manager, the municipal manager has 2 master's degree, and then he's got 20 years experience, which surpasses the minimum requirement for the maximum salary package. When you look at the qualifications of the CFO, the CFO has an accounting degree, BTEC in accounting, national diploma in cost and accounting, and he's got an experience of 27 years. And he's got an MBA. And During the negotiations, because immediately after the council appointed MM, executive mayor had to enter into negotiations. And during those negotiations, having considered all the qualifications, it was therefore justified that they have to be remunerated at the highest, at the maximum package. And over and above that, the allowance for rural, it was not included on this. I don't know, Honorable Chapter 7, if maybe there are other questions that I left behind, but I think some of the issues will be better explained by both the municipal manager and the CFO, more especially the CFO, with regards to the issue that I said is all about unbundling of asset register. And then the Honorable Chairperson requested the CFO, also, I don't know whether it was CFO or MM, to go into detail as to, with regards to the 5 million rand that we've got with ESCOM. So far, I thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, my name is Jemina and my surname is Mazinho. Honorable Chairperson, can I continue? Okay. Let me start with the bill of ESCOM. The bill of ESCOM from 2013. The average consumption of the municipality, it ranges from 65 million up to 100 million in winter. The reason for that is due to the fact that the acting mayor has indicated the issue of illegal connection around Kwakwa. So out of the 141 customers, only 20,000 customers were paying for the electricity. So hence the collection rate is very low. And then in terms of the penalties, the chairperson indicated or requested me to indicate the penalties that the ESCOM is charging us. The penalties that the ESCOM is charging us on the NMD is ranging from 284,000 in 2013 February. In March, 2.2 million, and then in April, 2.9 million. In March, in May 2013, 3.2 million. In July, 3.8 million. In August, same year, 2013, 4 million. And then September, 3.8 million. And then October, 2.3 million. And then November, 1.9 million, and December, it was 741,000. And then in 2014 also, it started to pick up. In March, it was 1.7. And then we experienced... Okay, and then we experienced a high penalty on the NMD in April, in April 2014, where ESCOM started to charge 4.7 million, and then it increased significantly in May, June, July, August, up to September 2014, where they were charging us 6.2 million on the NMD. And then it carried on up to now, where they are charging us, I think now, let me quickly go to June 2020, they charged, they've charged us 7.4 million. And I think also let me go back and highlight to the committee that the NMD also in May significantly went up due to the winter season. We have exceeded our NMD, and the penalty that we charged there was around 9 million by ESCOM. These are the penalties, honorable committee members, on the NMD, meaning that we are exceeding our maximum demand with ESCOM. I think the HOD also attached and indicated how much when we tried to apply with ESCOM, the amount that they were requesting us to pay up front so that we can be able to increase our maximum demand. And then the interest on its own, now the interest that is due to late payment or the interest that affected us due to non-payment and late payment and not being able to pay the current account that I indicated earlier to say, it ranges between 60 to 100 million in average. So that is the interest in 2013, the interest started at 653, increased to February 1.1 million. But I think it's of importance to indicate that it's increased significantly from 2015, where they started to charge the interest of around 8.9 million in May. And then in 2015. But also maybe I think the committee members will have a direct interest to the interest that was charged in 2019-2020 financial year. Let me start with the February, the interest that was charged there. The interest was significantly increasing, that it was even going to the 25 million, 45 million. So this indicates that over and above the consumption, the bulk of the money goes to the interest and the penalties. And then the municipality has made the payment with ESCOM that they had an agreement with the previous administration to pay 20% of their collection. That has been the case, and it was done up to end of June 2020, the collection. But like I've indicated, the collection, the amount that we were contributing towards the ESCOM account, it was very little due to the collection amount of the municipality. However, on the 27th of May, the MM and us, the team, we were at ESCOM and trying to have the meeting with ESCOM and indicating that we are requesting 3 months so that we can come up with a payment plan that is financially sound, that we'll be able to afford it. And then on the 16th of July, after the receipt of our equitable share, over and above the 2.5 million that we paid in June, we have also paid the ESCOM an amount of 72 million that has never happened. And then unfortunately on the 21st, and then on the 17th, sorry, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, on the 17th, the papers were filed to attach the amount of municipality. It was in a tune of 224 million, and then through the negotiations, they have only 20 million. And then now the 132 has been attached. And I mean, sorry, 134 million has been attached. That was on the issue of the ESCOM in trying to bring the clear indication or the picture of the current bill that we are billed by ESCOM, and what are the penalties due to NMD, and then the interest that we were charged to the payment that was not honored or paid. And then the Honorable MEC of NMC of Finance indicated that we have also entered into a service level agreement where we have given the top 100 of ESCOM to implement and charge direct. And then in terms of the reports that I have here that will serve to the council on the 27th, I just want to give the exact figures. We are having my apology, I'm just trying to open my computer. And then we are having in Kwakwa, ESCOM has already installed 11 large power users. In Harrismith, they have installed 28. In Siame, they have installed 7. So the total meters installed by ESCOM is 46. And then outstanding in Kwakwa, we are sitting with 51. In Harrismith, we are sitting with 13 large power users that they still have to install. And then in Siame, they have completed. So all in all, for us to reach this 100 large power users, they are left with 64. Then this 100 large power users will contribute to, is going to contribute to, is going to contribute to the consumption of the monthly consumption of the municipality. And then in terms of, if I can also let me, I think I'm done with ESCOM, and then maybe I can touch also in terms of the irregular expenditure. The Honorable Chairperson indicated that we should present the details, meaning that the supplier names and the amounts. That was the information that is presented by Office of the Auditor General, and that what is appearing on our financial statements. It's quite a thick document. Basically, it's what we have as the municipality transacted in that financial year, the Office of the Auditor General, due to not all the supply chain processes not being followed, it has been put under irregular expenditure. So, meaning that all transactions that were performed by the municipality were being classified as irregular expenditure. So, it's quite a thick document, Honorable Chairperson. I don't know whether it will take more than a day to explain each and every supplier that is here, but it's for 2017-18. If also we look into the presentation that the acting mayor presented, we have indicated that the current one that we have incurred for 1920, we are having that in our internal audit is performing the ad hoc audit to check the completeness on that one, because as the finance we have prepared the register, but we are giving it to an independent internal audit section to check the completeness on the irregular expenditure. So that one irregular expenditure is relating to 17-18 financial year. So, also just to, I think the other things that the chairperson requested me to talk talked to. It was relating to irregular expenditure, relating to ESCOM, and then also it's relating to the late submission. The late submission as a municipality, we are covering the 2 years that we were behind with. The 17-18 has been submitted, waiting for the draft has been presented, waiting for management letter, and then we are presenting 19-20 on the 10th of December. Maybe just to explain further to the committee, why are we presenting it now on the 10th of December? The Maludiakofun is having the municipal entity that is called Maludiakofun Water. So there has to be a consolidation on both the financial statements. Hence, we have to wait for that consolidation that is been going to be finalized in September, and then going to submit the asset register on the 10th of December, and then also submit the 1920, which is this financial year in February 2021. So meaning that next year, 2021, in August, we will be on time. By the end of August, we will be submitting the correct 2020. We will be submitting 2021. We'll be on time. So, and also what we have done now for the council tomorrow, in terms of MFMA section 133 for the late submission, we have submitted the reasons for late submission to council, and that information will be provided to the Office of the Auditor General as well as Provincial Treasurer. The MMC also wanted me to explain the unbundling of assets, as it is indicated that the 718 is submitted without the asset register. It was the disclaimer approach, and then even the 10th of December 1 is going to be a disclaimer approach. The February 1, we will be submitting it with the asset register, because we are now in an adjudication stage for the service provider to unbundle the assets. We know that when we are unbundling the assets, we need the expertise of the financial expertise together with technical expertise, because we are talking about our infrastructure. That what the general the graph is requiring. Hence, we are requesting the services of the service provider to unbundle those assets. In February, according to our plan, it will be finalized and submitted with working documents to the Office of the Auditor General. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honourable members. Thank you, Minister.
Thanks, Chairperson. With regard to Arangupalu issue. Kinda MM, my name is Ntuzum Tama, Municipal Manager Maludiakofu. I think Honourable Kalipi raised this year Arangupane and Zegi. Arangupane at Comet, the water managed to fix that problem. That's why most of the villages were receiving water, including Riverside, Elite, Beirut, and so forth. But however, we experienced a huge high bed, but we are busy fixing that with the water and milk water. And then on the issue of Seki, indeed, Honourable Chairperson, there was a challenge with regard to water tankers. We are dealing with that. We have identified a big borehole next to the police station. The water and the milk water, they are going to attend to it so that the community of Seki can get water. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. So, there's only one question that was missing with regards to the interview. Honourable Chair raised a concern that for payments of 10,000 rands, the payment wasn't actually paid to the executive mayor nor the speaker for the interview. We actually meant the the radio slots that we had with Kwakwa Radio informing the community about the pandemic. And Kwakwa Radio, yes, it's a local radio, but it has got a very high number of listeners around Mantakofu. I thank you. I think that's all from Mantakofu Chief. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Chairperson.
Thank you, colleagues. Thank you so much. Colleagues, do we have follow-up? But prior to doing that, I've got an issue here that I want to also raise. I didn't see hear the response coming clearly on the issue of the salaries that the MM and the CFO have paid themselves. And then I heard somebody talking about rural allowance. I've never heard such happening because, you know, salaries are paid by using through the upper limits. The HOD, can you tell us what are you going to do with this? Because this wrong salary payment, this must be corrected. So I think HOD will be able to tell us, to talk to us to that effect. Then I'll get that feedback from you, HOD. Then the other thing on the COVID expenditure, I didn't hear the precise answer because on the 20,000 payment for radio interviews, is this what the municipality does? Because my take, radio interviews are for free. Even the marketing, like I've given an analogy, what should have happened. That money that you've also paid for marketing, that money, if you know that you're the municipality under distress, you could have then used the money for other things than what you've done that. I didn't that see that coming. So HOD, CFO, and MM, you need to address on this before I ask the other colleagues to follow up. Thank you. Over to you, HOD.
Thanks once more, Honorable Chairperson. I must indicate that when the matter was brought to our attention as a department, I personally wrote a letter to the MM where I advised to say the salaries that they are being paid is inconsistent with the regulation. Remember, Chairperson, that there were Regulation 17 of 2014, which were subsequently nullified by the court on the 12th of March 2019, and subsequently the minister issued interim measures, and the very interim measures still confirm that the minister is the only one who can approve a waiver. And I advise the municipality to say you must actually do a waiver application, which is signed by the mayor, where they give reasons why salaries will have to be pitched at the highest notch in terms of the advert. Remember, there's an entry which is minimum, and there's a medium, and then maximum. So when the report came to our attention, we realized that the MM and the CFO were being paid at a maximum notch of the packages that were advertised. And we advised that they will have to actually apply to the minister for a waiver to consider that, because within the regulation, it indicates that experience and quite a number of factors that I may not necessarily reflect on. But unfortunately, I've still not received any response from the municipality as to whether that has been corrected. But in my telephonic discussions with the MM, he assured me that that is going to be corrected. So when that is corrected, we will want to get a proof that the salaries are at the level where they need to be, and then they can only apply for a waiver. And once the minister has concurred with a waiver, then they can be played retrospective from the date of their appointment if the waiver is approved. So that still remains to be a gray area for us because we have not received the correspondence back based on what I wrote to advise. Thanks, Chairperson.
Response, HOD, thanks so much for that clarity that you have decided to correct that. MM and the CFO, you must tell us How much have you paid yourself? You know it here. Without getting the proper approval from the minister, how much have you paid yourselves thus far, and it's for how many months? We need that information. And then the acting MM, because there was a directive coming from the province, because this was been done in gross violation of the regulations. We need feedback from yourself, MMC Finance, and the municipality to say, what steps have you taken? Because this is really gross and irregular. And I think now we are here in Parliament, the two must explain to us how much have they paid themselves and for how many months have they been doing that, despite the HOD, the Department of Culture in the province, raised the matter. You continue to get a salary that you, to pay yourself salaries that you are not entitled to. And you are the accounting officer and the CFO of them. How do you do this? Can you explain this to us as a committee? I know members want to make follow-up on this matter. I'm trying to make your life easier for you to be upfront.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Let me start here as the CFO of the municipality, appointed in terms of the Local Government Municipal Systems Act number 32 of 2000, in terms of Section 57 and the employment contract of the Chief Financial Officer. In terms of this act, the manager's accounting directly to the municipal manager enters into an agreement with, or performance agreement within 60 days with the accounting officer, which is not, which is the case that applies to me. And let me just also explain the confusion, where the confusion came. When we arrived here as the municipal manager on the first, the municipal manager and CFO on the 1st of April, the municipality was still under Section 139B. And the
First of April, when? 2020, Honorable Chairperson.
And then as the CFO, I was requested to enter into a contract with the administrator, which we know that my, because the municipality is under Section 139B, is not under Section 139C, where the administrator was having all the functions and powers. I then indicated to the administrator that the MM has been appointed, and then I need to, in terms of this section of Municipal Systems Act, enter into my performance contract and negotiate my salary with the accounting officer, of which I did enter into the contract with the municipal manager. And let me also draw the Honorable Chairperson before the
account. Can we get clarity here? The MM is, you are appointed by the council. You are a Section 57 manager.
Yes.
Right?
No, you are right.
I'm right. And then, when you are appointed, there's an advert that you responded to. Eh? That gave you your entry salary. Am I wrong? And you applied knowing that this is the entry I'm applying for. So what makes you to go and negotiate something beyond that? Because you know you progress. Yeah, you've got an entry salary, then you get assessed, you progress until you reach the highest notch. Nobody who goes to the work and starts to get the highest notch. And when you applied, there was collusion when it comes to issue of your employment, something you must tell us here. So you were promised, you applied, everything being told will give you the highest notch. Because here, I don't know where is the confusion. Because this is the administrator was sent by the HOD. And the HOD will have raised these matters with you. Because we don't want historical background of these matters. Tell us how much did you pay yourself And when are you paying back the money? Simple and straightforward. Historical background doesn't help us anyway because the HOD has already expressed himself on this matter. Yes. Don't waste our time. We have got other responsibilities to deal with. Response. How much did you pay yourself? That's not the entry level up to now from April. And when are you paying back the money? That's a straightforward question. And how much did you pay? Because you're the CFO. How much did you pay the MM? You must account for that. And when, if indeed, if you also the MM, you gave him the same salary, then when are you paying back the money? Period. Don't go to the booth. And then we'll want the MMC to respond as well. Please, assistant.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, with all due respect, I think the clarity was very important because it was going to assist everybody. However, the advert is very clear. There is a minimum, there is a midpoint, and there is a maximum. So the advert was very clear, Honorable Chairperson, and the Gazette 20 43122 is also very clear in terms of what needs to happen on the amount. And then let me just answer directly. I have negotiated with the MM, and then I have been put on the maximum notch, that is on the advert that was posted on the City Press, and then I have been paid according to that gazette of 43122, and the MM also negotiated with the executive mayor, and then he has been paid according to what they have reached, Honorable Chairperson. In terms of when am I paying back the money, Honorable Chairperson, I will just wait the court outcome and pay back the money. Thank you.
You negotiated with the MM, and the MM negotiated with the mayor against the law, whereas you have got the fiduciary responsibility to advise both yourself as the CFO and the accounting officer to advise counsel. So did you get a resolution of contract to that effect?
Yes, Honorable, they have adhered to Section 57 of the Municipal Structures Act of Act Number 32 of 2000, and Gazette, that has been signed by Honorable Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma on the 20th of March 2020. The name of the Gazette is 431.
No, don't tell us about, we know the Gazette we're talking about. Did you get concurrence from the minister? I was still coming to you. You got a resolution. At the end of the day, you must get concurrence prior to the payment. Did you get the concurrence from the MEC and the minister?
The MEC did give the concurrence, and then the Gazette, there's no way that you say I must get the concurrence from the minister.
HOD, come in here. Why are we getting two conflicting stories, HOD? Come back. HOD. No, don't you for a ride, colleague, please. Why are we getting two conflicting stories here? HOD, come back. Talk to us on this matter.
Chairperson.
Now your MEC has approved this, and then
Chairperson, remember the MEC does not have the authority to concur.
Yes.
On a waiver application, it's only the minister.
Only the minister.
What we then wrote to the minister.
Why did the MEC concur then?
No, the MEC has not concurred. The MEC acknowledged receipt of the application, and that is why, in terms of our analysis, we wrote back to the municipality and said the following documentation, and this is how it must be done so that it's sent to the minister. And that is the procedure that is normally done. The MEC does not concur. The MEC acknowledges receipt and saying your document is sufficient, therefore we're passing it over to the minister to actually concur, because the waiver application resides with the minister, not with the MEC. Thanks.
So, CFO, why are you telling us now? You said the MEC is concurred.
Okay.
It's a parliamentary offense. And the HOD said, you're going to come in, Mkalipu. I'm going to give you chance, colleagues, to talk on this one. Don't respond. I'm asking you a question. You hear what the HOD is not here. The HOD is here and is explaining the process. Why did you pay your sales without getting the waiver approval from the minister? Mkaliti, it's you who has chopped this matter as well.
Director as well.
Who else? Yeah, in that order.
Who said?
Okay. Mkaliti?
Point to say that they must answer us. We are the members of the committee oversight here. And if she has the proof, she must put it here on the screen. Because we need to get to the bottom of this corruption that is taking place there. We can't allow the situation to go by. And is confirming that there was no appeal. So she must hide behind the labor. The labor, in fact, she must help instead of to court and delay it because they'll be, she must tell it now.
You're freezing. We missed the last part. You must come back, Mkaliti. The next speaker is Jireko on this matter. I'll give you another opportunity, Mkaliti.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I don't know what to start. When you speak of Maluti Apofu, we are speaking about a distressed municipality. We are speaking about the municipality that has financial challenges. We are speaking about municipality that needs capable personnel to assist the sinking Titanic. However, we are here listening to the CFO who is unable to differentiate between concurrence and acknowledgement of receiving the documents. Then how sure are you able to read the legislation or interpret the legislation is going to assist the same municipality? And my question also goes to the HOD. HOD, you said that to evoke Section 139 intervention in that municipality. Is it that decision that you have taken, is that decision going to assist the municipality? We have two officials, top officials of the municipality, who are robbing the municipality in a daylight, and they are unable to guide the municipality. Do you trust those people with the municipality? Do you think the decision of evoking Section 139 is going to assist the municipality? Can you please decision? Because really, this is embarrassing. We don't want the historical content of what is happening. Our question is very clear. When are you going to pay the money that you have received from April until to date? Pay back the money and do the right thing. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Chair.
Person?
Mkaliti?
Yes, and I was saying the same as the Honorable Director is putting it very first of all, I mean, the problem that they say people can come to party and lie in the playground. This is a very stressed platform where the members of this provincial legislators and members of parliament must come and ask him. So to speak, when we send for committees, we are not because of the body. We are doing on the people, especially the poorest of the poor. Paid roughly to her, she is waiting for the court for the case to take place. As
Chair, I believe it is a court case. There is the former CFO.
Mukalipi?
Yes, Chair.
We are missing you. Yes. Can you switch off your video? Maybe we're going to hear you. I think you are raising pertinent issues, but you are being sidelined. Try that, okay?
Oh, can we try that? Again?
Yeah, start from the before the court case.
Saying to the CFO, she must not come and tell us about the court case because she's saying to us she's waiting for that court case before she made arrangement to pay back the money. We are talking about the money that's supposed to go and help the poor people here. And currently, I believe there is a court case that is pending of the former municipal manager, the former CFO, the former director of public safety, and the finance manager that was charged about the abuse of power in that municipality. It can't be that a new person who is brought in to rescue that municipality, she's doing the very same thing that the former colleague that put this municipality in this crisis. Now she's repeating the very same thing. And you are very lenient when you are saying she must just tell us when she's going to pay that money. In fact, we must ask the province, when are you charging her? When are you charging her? Because we are sick and tired of people who come and hide behind court cases here. Because the issue of the court cases, it will take long time. She has done the wrong thing. She has paid herself without any approval. On top of that, she came to the committee and lied to us, thinking that we were stupid. And then when she is exposed by the HOD to say that, no, in fact, there was no approval, she's not telling us anything. In fact, the province and the Cocteau National must charge her. We can't allow this situation, Chairperson. And I'm very glad that you are very, very united in this committee because we need to nip this thing in the bud. She must just tell us clearly when. We need a time frame. When are you going to pay back the money? The other issue, Chair, because of time, is also when someone was responding in terms of how to address the infrastructure problem, there is aging. Someone said here they have started by putting the boreholes, etc. Tell us the time frame. People of the municipalities have been suffering for a long time. I'm happy that the HOD said they want to come back with a proper report regards to the electricity. We welcome that because we need to get a clear program on how to resolve the issue of the electricity in the municipality. So, Chairperson will tell you when are you going to come back because we need to deal with this thing once and for all. The issue of MM, the issue of CFO, paying themselves without approval, here, we must resolve it here. What is the province is going to do? Because even Honorable Direko is correct. HOD, you also can't come here in this committee and say you have not got a response from the municipality because you wrote to them. It's a matter of working this thing every day if you want to deal with corruption. You can't just wait and say and come here and say, no, I'm still waiting for them to respond. You are supposed to come with a proper answer here because these people will work with them on every day. And I hope Honorable Deputy Minister is listening and she's going to come back because this thing also needs a political intervention. If we are not going to be very vocal on these issues of corruption, Chair, is a problem. So the MM, the CFO, they must tell us now which date, how are you going to pay the money? Are you going to e-wallet the money or are you going to put in checkers or are you going to pay it cash or how? How? Yes. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Hussein.
Mkalipi is making me laugh about checkers now. She was
you are late. Checkers.
No, Chair, I want to add my voice to my colleagues on the portfolio committee because, you see, we've been busy with this issue about consequence management and accountability from the morning. Now, we as a portfolio committee know about something. And so I agree with you and the rest of the members of the committee 100%. If you pay somebody, if you pay yourself a salary that you are not legally obliged to do so, it's fraud. It's nothing else but fraud.
So the HOD must, just before he leaves today, give us an undertaking that he is going to open a fraud charge against the CFO for this matter. But we can't just simply leave it. I agree with the position that Mkhalipi has taken. And we've also asked, I don't want us to lose that, the point that she has also made about putting up that concurrence on the screen. I'm sure she will have it. Because if she is right, then at least, you know, we can step away from this matter. But I find it hard to believe that the MEC has given that concurrence if it doesn't have the authority to do so. So can she please find that aid with us on the screen now? Thank you.
And the next one is Honorable Shaza.
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. This is a classical example of what we have been saying throughout the municipalities. The case in point now being the CFO. And I really concur with the previous speakers and the honorable members of the committee that action should be taken, and it must seem to be visibly taken. It must not be a by-the-way issue that we allowed members of the municipality and officials of the municipality to come to the committee and act as if things are fine. Whenever we get a response to the questions, we get things are done and there's money that is put there. When you translate that, when you go back to the ground to do oversight, there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing. So that means that they do not have capacity to raise their level of expectation. You know, they actually have lowered their standards in terms of reporting. So the deputy ministers and minister needs to look at this very, very closely and deal decisively with people who do not apply the law in terms of what should be done, particularly the case of the COFO. Initially, Chairperson, I wanted to raise the question because the Auditor General in Fezile Dabi found that in Metsimaholo, 2.7 million was spent to build a sports ground, only to find out that the only thing that is there is the fencing. So it's not only the CFO, not only the officials, but even the entire municipality in terms of what to be done. You do a project, we are going to see in JS Moroba, you do a project and the project gets hung. It's not finished. The EFF opened the case of money laundering in this case. What surprises account? When are we going to see action against the perpetrators? Because it's really futile to come to a portfolio committee such to hold officials to account and go back bare, you know, having been lied to, like we're being lied to today. It can't be correct. We're not going to promote it. We're going to make sure that indeed our people get value for their money. The executive and officials are held into account without being personal in dealing with those issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Nkosi Luthuli, it's your turn.
Thank you, Chair. What I want to, sorry, want to know from the CFO is that when the post was advertised, it was not spelled out how much per annual is going to get or not. Only that question, Chair. Thank you very much.
Therefore, can you share with this committee? This is within your fingertips. I know it's there in your
post. Thank you,
Wait. I'm saying I know it's there in your computer. Tell us from April, how much did you pay yourself instead of how much in terms of the entry level? The difference. This is public information. Same thing, what did you do? You respond, we want that. It's not privileged information here when we're in Parliament. You must share that with us. Yes, you respond and respond. And then the question that I want to ask, maybe let me start with the MMC finance. You know, in terms of the law, when it comes to implementation of consequence management, when are you going to charge these two, the CFO and MM? As Honorable Director has said to me, these are the people that are supposed to assist with the physical discipline of the municipality, but they are the ones that are taking it down. Situation of the community. And you accepted the salary scales as they are, prior to even getting approval by the minister. You're paying yourself the salaries that you are not entitled to. You can't even differentiate, acknowledge, and the approval, the MEC. You come here and quote the regulation. That is very clear. Who must approve to us? And this is something. So, MMC, tell us, when are you going to put this to?
Chairperson?
Aside as and when you are investigating this matter and come with it. Because at times also, it also comes to the mayor. I wanted the mayor to be here to understand her understanding, ensuring that the physical, the financial physical discipline is always maintained. I see something where in here officials are just doing as they wish. Where is the concern? And then I'm prompted to ask, to say to the province, to say, why didn't you want to put this municipality under 1391C, if that's what you're doing? Because you can see, this is not going to take the, this bill of yours is not going to take the municipality anymore. What Mukiti was calling the chairperson, is it the HOD?
Yes, Chair. I wanted to clarify something, if I have your indulgence, Chairperson, with due respect.
Sure.
Chairperson, this matter of the salaries was reported by the last administrator to Colonel Luanu of the Hawks. So it is not that the matter has not been receiving attention. The matter is attended to by the Hawks. And I can give the particulars of the colonel who's dealing with the matter. Just to show that we are acting on the matter. Thanks.
Was here that you on the province part, because I also want the DG of COCTA, or maybe this DM Tawe has asked me, he was going to step aside a bit in between the meeting. If it's this also, did you receive the application? Did the department receive the application? And why have you not responded to it if that is the case? But let's first hear them, and they must tell us the figures. They must first respond. MMC, you are the first one to start. As the representative of the mayor. How did you allow that to happen under your watch? You pay them before they get approval. They pay themselves before they get approval.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, we were actually guided by the advert that was approved as to how much the applicants have to be paid. So, and since well, there's the disagreements with regards to the payments that which we advanced and the interpretation thereof, we will engage as the municipality with the HOD outside this meeting and see how we come to the conclusion.
MMC,
Yes,
what incidents are you referring to? Because the offer that you are given, when somebody applies, there's a level, the entry level, these people, they were supposed to be paid. That's what guys did. That's what guys do. Anything that you do contrary to the entry level, you must get the minister's approval. So you can't tell us that you were informed by the advert. Because the advert, anything, there's a regulation that says if you want to give somebody the medium, the maximum notch, that should be done upon approval by the minister. So then the officials get ahead and then pay themselves without the minister's approval. You still tell us you were guided by the advert. Let's be realistic. You're in a committee of parliament. Yeah. Can we remind you that, MC?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, we find ourselves at a different position because regulations have not been put forward, advanced, but if maybe we can be assisted with the regulation specifically that we can look at, because from our side, the entry levels, there were three, according to the advert. If maybe we can just snapshot the advert to yourself, Honorable Chairperson, so that you can be able to see what is it that we are talking about. Maybe it will assist the Honorable Committee.
So there's nothing that you can do on your own, but you are in charge of the municipality, the MMC in finance. So this rot has become a norm in the municipality. It can continue because you are not given the gazette. But I mean, if the province, why didn't you respond if they've written to you and advise you on this mess? So why didn't you ask the province to give you the required regulation? And it's the province who must give you regulations. Unless this is sheer arrogance that we are portraying to this committee, it's something we'll deal with it as we report. Because the regulations are there, and the officials have got the responsibility whenever they make you to follow it up. So I disputing that you were supposed to get the approval from the minister prior to this colleagues of yours implement giving themselves higher notice than what they were appointed for. That's the issue.
With due respect, Honorable Chairperson, we are not disputing that at all. We are not disputing that at all, and we therefore request that maybe we can deal with this with the HOD outside this meeting and see how we come to the conclusion.
You must answer to us in Parliament. You know, you are in Parliament. How did you allow it to happen under your watch? As the MMC for finance and the mayor, isn't that today you are acting mayor and you accepted the responsibility that comes with that? How did you allow it to happen under your watch? That's the question.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We did that guidance because the MM and the CFO, they were appointed as of the 1st of April. And when we did that payment, we were guided by the Government Gazette, of the 20th of March 2020, few days before the appointment of the two incumbents. So that is what guided us. Because it has got three categories, that is criteria, that is minimum, midpoint, and maximum in terms of the total remuneration package of the senior managers. That is what exactly guided us.
That guy, Government Gazette, you can't read it in isolation, because the way you are saying it now, and the difficulty you are sitting with those two people there, I suspect they are giving you what to respond on. Because it's in their favor. And unless you don't provide leadership, because you were coming all right to say this is a matter that we're going to correct with the department, then you're going to... So can I come to the two? How much did you pay yourself since April? Fearful?
Hey, may I just make this one point, please, if you don't mind.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yes,
if what
yes.
the MMC is saying is correct, that they were guided by that gazette, why then was it necessary for the CFO to write for concurrence to the MEC. So it was clear that they were aware that there was still a need to get that concurrence, notwithstanding that government gazette. If that were not the case, then the CFO would have not written that letter to the MEC. So they knew about it. It's not true that they only relied on the government gazette.
Yeah.
Okay, Lippy?
Yes, I just want to make a follow-up on exactly on that one, Chairperson, that they knew about it. So why did they write it to the MEC if they were relying on the gazette? The second point is that if now they want to shift the blame to the old administrator, so the province must also tell us, because that administrator was sent by the province, how is the province going to act to that person? Because I believe that person is still in the payer's role, the province. If that person misled the whole process, also he must face consequences.
Can you answer how much did you pay yourself so that we can put it on record? On the way forward, we'll ask the HOD to assist us. And we'll raise this matter again later with the MEC. It's coming, remember? Of the Section 139. This is the municipality that's also under Section 139. Tell us the figures. How much did you pay yourself? Instead of how much? We want that. You've got those figures here at your disposal. I don't know.
Thanks, Chairperson. Yeah, I'm the municipal manager for the municipality. My name is Kutu Mutama. And I humbly request the Honorable Chairperson that we do the calculations and the response in writing as soon as this afternoon or tomorrow morning with your permission.
Oh, Chair.
No,
Chair.
No.
Guys, it must have been
this is the person that gets into your personal account, am I wrong?
Yes.
You know how much did you get?
Exactly.
You know what was your initial salary before? The first salary that you got before you pay yourself this amount. So why do you need indulgence and then to go and do calculation? You want to give us, you know that. Are you taking this committee of parliament serious or you think it's another game?
Why would you prepare, Chair?
Hmm?
Why? They want to prepare this.
No, they must tell us. This money goes straight to their account, Chair. There is no preparation that is needed. They must just pass through their SMSs. When the 31st or 25 or 15, the money knocked to their phones, they must just go through to the SMSs. But we are interested to know how much before, and then when are they going to pay back the money and how. That's what we want to know in this committee. Now, we are not postponing anything.
Over to you, MM.
My package as per the government gazette is 1.9 million per annum. The chief financial officer is 1.5 per annum.
Is the one that you have revised?
No. Chairperson, there was never any revision of any kind of any salary.
Payment. Is it in line with the payment? How much did you get before that letter? You remember you said you took the you pay yourself.
No, nothing, Chairperson. I've asked you with respect on our Chairperson that I can provide the documentation and abandon letters. And the Kukos government...
What did you submit to the minister for approval?
There's nothing, Honorable Chairperson.
You didn't submit anything to the minister and the MEC office?
No.
You didn't submit anything?
I'm under oath, Honorable Chairperson. I didn't submit anything.
HOD, what's going on here? HOD?
Honorable Chairperson.
What's going on here? Can you give us the documentation that can you commit to give us the information as you said before the meeting?
Chairperson, that's what I will do. Let me explain. That is what I will do. When we receive the documentation, we advise the municipality that one, When we apply for concurrence, these are the following documents that must be received. We need the employment contract. We need the performance contract. We need council resolution. We need the number of applicants. We need the outcome of the assessment results. When we have all of those things, we will then send documentation to the minister, including the letter from the executive mayor where she requests the minister to waiver their decision to pay them at the highest level. And these are the documents that we have not received even to date. Like I said, the previous administrator is on record to have advised them what to do. Even as we speak, now the administrator has just sent me a message because I was following up with her on some of the things. He indicates to me that she has just received a WhatsApp from the CFO saying, where is the concurrence? There's no concurrence. We're still waiting for those documents to be submitted. And I'll give evidence of these things that I'm talking about. I can put writing. So I think to me, it was just a sheer negligence, not negligence, defiance, if I may put it.
No. I think we need to end up it here. Because you are lying to us, the two of you. And I think this committee is going to deliberate that to make a case to that effect. Now, the CFO, you have sent a WhatsApp message to the HODC to say, where is the concurrence? Now, here the MM says to say, we never asked for concurrence. What's going on here? Are you taking us for a ride as this committee? I'll plead the committee leaders to say something on this matter. I think we should just end it this meeting on this note. You'll advise me on the way forward, but I think we want to send a very strong message to you. It will be Mukhalipi doing that, Hussein, Kunirvat, Dutuli, and then it will be direct. I think one is not even persuaded to continue with this meeting. Can we do it in that order? Give them the message. Because we have come to make a determination that we are being lied to. And then we'll like the DG to respond, or the DM will be back. Babalo, get the DM for me, but he was listening. I know he's there. You're going to talk to this. We can't continue like this, especially in a municipality that is so paralyzed like this one. And we call people to come to account to Parliament. They are taking us for a ride. Tell us lies. Over to you, Mkali.
No, Chair, you're quite right. Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt him, Mkalipi. Chairperson, we all put follow-up questions to the CFO, but she hasn't responded yet.
Yes, I know. But do you think you're going to get answers?
Well, she must answer, Chair, before we even give her more questions. Because, you know... Mkalipi asked for the document to put up on the screen. Does she have it?
Mm-hmm. If you've heard that, they are saying that they don't have the information, and we can know it's deliberate withholding of the information. They have it. They are seated together. It looks like they are in the office, the way they are seated. So the information is there within their fingertips. Since we started this matter, if they were committed, they could have retrieved the information. Financial information doesn't need tomorrow, day tomorrow. There's a system that she runs, the CFO. It's there. That's why I was saying, colleagues, there's nothing that we are going to get out of this exercise. That's why I want you to then make the marks we close this other day. We'll determine the way forward when we meet with the MEC. We're still going to meet with the MEC tonight. CFO, you get the document. Share the screen.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I don't know whether I'll be able to share it now because I was trying to open my computer. It will take. Sorry, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, by talking while I was trying to answer the questions. The question that I was asked is how much have we paid ourselves
I paid myself 1.596748747 maximum per annum. It was paid since April. My humble apology. April 2020. There was never a new agreement or signing of performance agreement that was different from that one. And then the municipal manager was paid the 1.9 million, which is also the maximum. And it was the first one that we are having, and we didn't like amend or adjust or anything. That was
translated in simple terms. What were you offered when you accepted the offer of employment? If it's 1.1
No, I was not offered 1.1, Honorable Chairperson. I was offered 1.1
myself. I never said that. I said, how much were you offered? This is not what you meant. Okay. This was what, okay. This is what you negotiated. Tell us, what were you offered? What you accepted?
Okay. I accepted, Honorable Chairperson, 1.5967.47 per annum. I was assigned that contract, and I was paid that amount from April to date.
CFO, why did you apply for concurrence by the minister?
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, let me clarify. I didn't apply for any concurrence from the MEC nor the minister. What happened, let me just put it maybe slowly. The concurrency, it was applied.
Why do you have to put it slowly as if people can hear? Why are you putting it slowly?
No,
I sarcastic. You must refrain from doing that, please.
My apology.
Respect. Give this meeting the decorum it deserves. Proceed.
My apology. Thank you, Honorable Chairman. My apology. The concurrency that I was talking about, is the concurrency that the administrator, Mr. Amos Goller, requested from the MEC, and that concurrency, like the
concurrence is all about what. So you want to put us on record what the HOD is saying is not correct. The HOD is the one that's lying to us. The people who are speaking the gospel truth is you and your MN. Straight and simple forward. Because you see, when you don't patronize us, please. You must be specific, straight to the point, like our questions are direct. Are you disputing what the HOD has just said? Simple, straightforward. It is not disputing in any way. That's why I said to honorable members, we're not going to go anywhere. You see where we are going, colleagues. Yeah? Simple, straightforward. What the HOD has said, that you even send a WhatsApp message, where's the concurrence? What the MEC has said about the concurrence is about your salary. Are you disputing what the HOD has said?
Honorable Chairperson, as a municipality, we didn't apply for concurrency. Concurrency was done by the administrators, not from the municipality side. We didn't do the concurrency from the municipality, Honorable
colleagues, I think I need to adjourn this meeting.
Adjourn, Chair.
Assist me, colleagues. Because no, HOD, before I adjourn, HOD, you hear what the administrator is saying? Lying in broad daylight to this committee. I want your comment before I adjourn this meeting, HOD. HOD, is still there.
Where is the MEC, Chairperson?
Apologize, is going to be with us later in the evening. I see HOD is here. HOD? HOD Mukete? You are muted. Miss Charlie?
Yes. I didn't catch the question clearly, Chairperson.
They are saying there was no concurrence in relation to the salary that was applied for. And the issues that you are saying that you've got a message from the administrator is incorrect. It's not true. That's what the CFO is saying.
Chairperson, you can ask Sylvia Halden.
Sorry, Chair. She's even saying that as a municipality, they didn't apply for
concurrency. They didn't apply for that.
It was your administrator.
Chairperson, if yes, the administrator, because it was under Section 139 at the time, advised them on what needs to happen. And then the administrator brought documentation to say, we are missing the employment contract, the performance contract, because MM and the CFO do not want to conclude those things with me. Then we wrote back through the MEC's signature, and that evidence is there. That's why I'm saying I will provide evidence to that effect. I've just provided that evidence to the chairperson of SALGA. She has it. I've just provided evidence of the WhatsApp to the chairperson of SALGA. She has it. I've just provided the very evidence to Celia Heldenbrom. She has it. The last letter, they are looking it for me so that I can send it through to prove that we've done whatever that we could do as the department to actually advise the municipality and warn them. Evidence is there, chairperson.
They are saying they were offered positions, salaries at higher level. They applied for these salaries at higher level. What you are telling us is not correct.
The advert was indicating the entry, the midterm, and the maximum. So after the administrator brought it to my attention that he also wrote letters to them. After he had brought it to my attention that these people are being paid at the maximum level, we then said, you are not supposed to be paid at maximum level before we receive a waiver application and subsequently send it to the minister so that the minister can concur. And it is what I advised in my letter that I will send together with the report and the letters from the MEC in that particular regard. And ever since then, we have not received any response from the municipality. That's why I even said this matter subsequently was then reported by the administrator to the Hawks, Colonel Luan, as a deficiency.
So this is criminal. The administrator saw it fit because he could see this criminal, unfair enrichment. We still deny what the HOD is saying. I want to close this meeting here. We still deny what the HOD is saying. Yes or no? You still deny the fact as put on the table by the HOD.
Honourable Chairperson, yes, I deny.
Okay. And
also, yes.
Correct. Can we adjourn this meeting for us to raise the matter? Digi, you have got the application for waiver as a department. Did you get Ms. Heldenbrom can respond. And how far are you with that process of the application?
Let me do it. Okay. Yeah. Because there were a lot of emails in and out. So your portfolio hit, ne? Okay. I'm just gonna attach and send it through. Okay, thanks.
Who's Kumuto L?
Okay.
Who's the person
who's sending it now? Okay, sure.
Kumuto L is that? Kumuto L is that? Kumuto L is that?
Yes, Chess.
Where do you come from?
So sorry about that. I'm from SALGA.
How dare do you have your private conversation in front of us here as colleagues, and you are busy disrupting the meeting? How do you do that?
Chair, it locked me out, and then as I was relocking
back. When you're logging in, you didn't know this is a meeting of the committee.
I know, as I was relocking back, I must apologize.
On the phone, whereas you were busy logging into a meeting, said that you caused disruptions in the meeting. You could have logged out for good. And can I plead you to do that now? So that you do your other business, because you can't be attending a meeting busy with your other businesses. As a favor, and log out now. And we'll talk to your bosses. You'll have to explain to us why are you doing this in our meeting. We deserve some respect as a committee. Ne? Log out and leave us, and then you'll give us a written explanation on what you are doing. This is very disruptive. Colleagues, I was still saying, you want to address me before I close? Yes, just address, don't ask questions.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry to interrupt. In fact, Chair, I would like to propose that 1.6 per year, 1.5, that was the amount which was advertised. It must be given at least from next month on the 15th. We must get back to that amount, and then that will be all, and then we'll continue talking with the other things. Thank you very much.
No, let me correct you. 1.5 is the maximum that they were not supposed to get. They've given themselves the 1.5, and that was not in line with the advert. They are refusing to tell us what was the minimum as per the advert. They are deliberately refusing. They don't want to tell us. They're sticking on the maximum that they've given themselves, that they were supposed to apply for the waiver, and they've not yet get the waiver approval from the minister. So 1.5, they are refusing to give us what was the, but I assume that the HOD has promised to give us the information. So don't talk about the 1.5. I don't know what is the figure. They are refusing to divulge that figure to here to us. They've done that. I think it's making matters worse for you. I'm sorry, but I had to clarify you that in the visit.
Chelsea,
I know what you were trying to say. You wanted to know how much did they pay themselves from April up to the date, because they've been paying themselves without that waiver approval by the minister. And they don't tell us to say what notch was it. This entry note that they apply their position on. So they don't want to tell us. You could see they don't want to tell us. Who else wants to address me before I close this meeting? Can you have waived your opportunity as well to speak?
No, Chair, I wanted to concur with you to say let us close this meeting and we'll proceed as per your directive, Chair, that now we're not going to get anything from these people. But again, we are going to use our powers as this committee, as guaranteed by the rules of parliament, to deal with such dodgy people. So for now, let us close it. Then let us go to a drawing board as a portfolio committee to replan, and we can also come and deal with them decisively. Thanks, Chair.
Hussein?
Yeah, I agree, Chair. Let's rather just close the meeting. There's no point in proceeding any further. I agree with the sentiment expressed by Mkalipi and the rest of the members of the portfolio.
Levac. Thank you, Chairperson.
I want to agree with the latter speakers. Let's close and then let's use the power of the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Direko.
I fully support the motion, Chair.
Okay. Way forward. HOD. You'll finish us with all those documents. Yes, you agreed.
Chairperson, I can confirm that these documents that you want will be with the Secretary of the Portfolio Committee this afternoon.
Thank you so much. DG, can you update us on the status of the approval of the waiver by the minister? DG Kopka? DG Kopka, has he left the meeting? Mr. Mkache, where's your DG? Rupert?
Good afternoon, Chair.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Rupert, Chair.
Is your phone that's ringing while you're in a meeting? Is it?
Afternoon, Chair.
Is it your phone that's ringing while you're in the meeting?
No, I'm with somebody here in the same meeting.
Didn't tell somebody that you were in a meeting. Why are you doing what you are doing to give the decorum? Should I send you packing as well? I've already said the standard. You have to write to this committee. Why are you disrespecting this committee? You know the rules of the meeting. The phone cannot ring. Let me get somebody senior. I think you have already logged out. I want somebody senior from the department because this one is not in this meeting. Mr. Nkash, where's your DG?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, colleagues. The DG seemingly is out on the system. And then, but according to the concurrence letter that the colleagues are talking about, I think our branch could have received it, and then we never received it yet. So we can confirm that we never received it as the department.
There's no such letter. The waiver application, as far as we're concerned, it has not yet been processed through the system.
Yes.
You are going to follow it up.
Yes, Chair, I'll make a follow-up on it and check and communicate also with the issue from the province.
Who are you? I'm from Kopta, Chairperson. Responsible for my intervention, National. So why are you using your mic before being recognized? My apologies, Chairperson. I heard you calling my name. No, I called your name because your microphone was on and making a lot of noise, interfering with our meeting. I was muted, Chairperson. I was muted. No. When you are not muted, I can see you in the gadget. And it's causing a lot of disruptions. And this kind of behavior must stop. You must give this meeting the decorum it deserves. You only unmute your mic when you are recognized by the chairperson. And you must always check your gadgets. Because I've got a system that shows me here. That's why I've called. Why do I single out among so many participants that I'm using here at my disposal? I've got over 50 participants in this meeting because your microphone was on. That one of Rufus, when I was raising issues with him, is busy. The other colleagues with him, this phone is ringing, disrupting the meeting. I will play. And whoever does that, I'm going to chat you out of this meeting. Because you need to give this meeting the decorum. So, Mr. Nkashe, you're committing. You'll follow up on this. Let's get the information. Talk to your DG and also raise our committee's concern. She was in this meeting. She never even asked to be recused. Unless if there was some... Yeah, she could. She knows the process. And then we're calling here to respond, unlike the DM. The DM, I know, told me that he's got some challenges. He'll be listening. That's why I called his name. I thought that, and I got a feedback that you won't be able to respond to me.
Thank you, Chairperson.
We want an explanation from the DG why she left the meeting without an apology. An explanation from Rufus, yes? Why is he disrupting this meeting? He sits with some people in the meeting, they don't need their phones. Their phones kept on ringing. And then there's a colleague from Salga, Councillor Stofile, the one that I discharged from the meeting, you know. Also, we want her to explain her behavior, why did she did what she did. Colleagues, on that note, when we meet in the evening, Katenkashe, you and your DG have been giving us the status of this application, whether it's there or not. Even though you are the head of the branch, it might have not yet reached you, whether it has reached the department or not. The HOD COPTA in Free State has promised to give us the documents. We will have our own on-camera meeting, go back to the drawing board as the colleagues have suggested on this matter. But we want to say as a committee, we want to condemn what has happened. Especially in this municipality that is financially distressed. We were expecting the CFO and the MM to act in the best interest of this institution. We were expecting the mayor and her team as well to exercise financial discipline when it comes to it, but it seems as if there's no such appetite. At the same time, we said we want to take this municipality out of the trouble. I don't see it happening. On that note, colleagues, you must prepare to go to the house. We are going to reconvene at 19 hours. We are dealing with the Section 139 interventions in the province. We prioritize that. Then later on, we'll deal with the COVID-19 response by the province. So this meeting is adjourned until 7 o'clock. Thank you so much, colleagues. Enjoy your short meal, go to the house.